Yeah. Amen. Praise the Lord, Brother John. Amen. Amen. All the time. God's good all the time. Amen. I appreciate the goodness of the Lord and the opportunity to be here today. And thank God I know I'm saved. Exodus chapter number 8 this morning, please. Exodus chapter number 8. I want to give you a few simple thoughts that God gave to us, and I trust that He'll bless. Exodus chapter number 8, verse 16. And the Lord said unto Moses, say unto Aaron, stretch out thy rod and smite the dust of the land, that it may become lice throughout all the land of Egypt. And they did so. For Aaron stretched out his hand with his rod and smote the dust of the earth, and it became lice in man and in beast, and all the dust of the land became lice throughout all the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments to bring forth lice, but they could not. So there were lice upon man and upon beast. Then the magicians said unto Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he hearkened not unto them as the Lord had said. Eternal Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the good time we've already had here this morning. Thank you for the blessings of God. I'm glad you're good to us all the time, Lord. Father, help us to appreciate how good you've been. Help us to appreciate all the benefits we enjoy because we're your children. Help us to love you like we ought to love you and serve you like we ought to serve you. God, I pray you'd touch hearts and lives today for your honor, for your glory. If there be one in this place today that's lost, never been born again, how I pray the old-time conviction might get a hold of their heart, show them their need of Jesus, hang them out over hell where they realize, Lord, that without you, that will be their eternal home. God bless, we do pray, and thank you again for all that you've done for us, all that you're going to do, because you've promised you're going to go with us all the way, even unto the end. You're never going to leave. You're never going to forsake us, but you're going to bless us all the way home. And I pray, God, you'd help us to appreciate that. God, touch, we pray, and have your will and way. Help us today. May the Spirit of God enlighten us. I pray you'd put in my tongue, my mouth, the very word for God that you'd have us to preach, and Lord, you'd bless every word that's said and all that's done today, that Christ, who is worthy, might be magnified and exalted and lifted up. And we'll give you praise and world without end for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Here in these verses I read in your hearing, the God of heaven moves as he had told Moses that he would. He made a difference in the lives of all those who were living in this day. For a purpose he already had in mind, as he had already said. In fact, everything still happens as he does because of what he said. I heard a song not too long ago that absolutely cranked my truck. It said, because he said so. Amen. I'm glad everything there is happened because he said so. I appreciate the fact that everything that there is happened because God said so. I'm saved today because God said so. Amen. You're on your way to heaven today because God said so. Amen. Jesus is coming back because God said so. The tomb is empty because God said so. Hallelujah. Everything that's been done is because God said so. And by the way, he's going to have the final say-so. It don't matter who's in the White House, it's who's that lives in God's house that makes a difference. And he said so, and that's the way it's going to be. Here in the Word of God, we find that God told Aaron and Moses, strike the dust of the ground and lice will be formed. And when they did, that's what happened. We see here that others couldn't do what they did. The magicians, the soothsayers came together, and they had tried to do things like God had done in the past. And they came together to say their enchantments and to weave some magic spell that lice would take place like that had happened when Aaron touched it with the rod of God. But it didn't happen. There are a lot of things that man wants to do that he just absolutely can't do. You can't save yourself. You can't get right with God yourself. You can't stir yourself up enough and to change your life that you can be a better person by doing it your way or way somebody tells you to do it. It has to come from God. When he says so, your life will be changed. When he says so, you'll be made a different creature. When he says so, things will be different from that day forward. You're not the same anymore. When God says so, we see the number one, the creating finger of God. God made everything there is and everything there will be. The physicians tried, but they couldn't do it. Many others have tried, but they can't do what he does. Only God is able to create something out of nothing. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Genesis says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Just as God formed and made man from the dust of the earth, he made these lice or these gnats in Egypt from the dust. By the way, did you know that we're made out of leftovers? Amen. The dust wasn't worth anything. And we know that when you get dust around the house, it's something you want to get rid of. We wasn't something God wanted to get rid of, but he took the leftovers and made us into his image. Amen. If we took everything that we're made out of, if there was a store somewhere we could go and buy everything we're made out of, even in today's economy, it wouldn't cost more than $20. Amen. Some of you thought you was worth a lot more than that, didn't you? It's amazing how many times people get a higher opinion of themselves than they really deserve to have. Amen. God made us in his image with the creating finger of God. No matter who denies it, no matter who disagrees with it, no matter who criticizes, God is creator of everything there is. Father, Son, Holy Ghost made it all. The psalmist said, when I consider thy heavens, the works of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained, God took the hammer of his own will, struck it against the anvil of his omnipotence, and the sparks flew therefrom. And he caught them on the tips of his fingers, and he brought them to them, and he named them one by one. Then he flung them into the darkness and bedecked the universes with stars. The creating finger of God. Then number two, I look at the commanding finger of God. In Exodus chapter 24, the Lord said unto Moses, come up unto me and be there. Come up unto the mount and be there. It's amazing how many folks go through life, but they're never really there. Some of you get that in a minute. You're not really here yet. It's amazing how many folks go through life, but they're never really there. It's amazing how many folks today live. The lights is on, but nobody's home. Life is passing them right by, and they can't see it, and they can't fathom it, they can't get a hold of it. It makes no sense to them, and they don't try to make any sense out of it. They just go from one thing to another, looking for something, and they don't know what they're looking for. Amen. Moses was commanded to come up on the mount with God and to be there. The reason he said, I want you to be there is because he said, I've got something good for you. I want to do something good for you. I want to help you. I want to bless you. I want to make something good out of you. I want you to be what I want you to be, and I want you to live your life in the way that's pleasing unto me. Moses, come up here and be here that I can teach you something and that I can show you something and I can do something with you. It's time that we got over ourselves and went to God and said, you do with me what you want to do with me. You make out of me what you want me to make. Let me hear what you want me to hear. Put in my heart, put in my mind, put in my mouth the very thing that you would be blessed with. Moses declared in Deuteronomy 9, and the Lord delivered unto me two tables of stone written with the finger of God. And on them was written according to all the words which the Lord spake unto you in the mount, in the midst of the fire, in the day of the assembly. God gave Moses two tables of stone. And on those two tables of stone, God had written with his own finger the law of God. Now, I know somebody's going to buck right there and say, well, we're not under law, we're under grace. It'd be a real good thing if you'd go back, study the law of God, and find out how to live. Find out how to behave ourselves. I mean, we've gone so far from things of God nowadays, we don't even know what bathroom to use. We've got males who claim to be females. We've got females who claim to be males. Depends on what day it is and how they feel that day. Amen. May I remind you, God's never made a mistake. He's never done anything wrong. If he made you a male, he meant for you to be. If he made you a female, he meant for you to be a female. Amen. Stay out of my bathroom. Amen. Those 10 original commandments of God written on the tables of stone were written in the commanding finger of God. And there they have been expanded by the nation of Israel to include 613 now. But the nation of Israel was smart enough and enough to desire the things of God that they've taken those 613 laws and made them the constitution of their country. Amen. Nowadays, lawyers can't even figure out the constitution of this country. Laws of God were written for our benefit so that we can learn how to behave ourselves. If we would humble ourselves and become respectful and fearful of transgressing God's law, it'd create a much better way of life for us today. If we'd go by the commandments of God and realize that we were made for His honor and for His glory, that God's commandments would do something wonderful in our lives. God's commandments have a lot of do's and they have a lot of don'ts, but they were written for us to learn how to behave and to know right from wrong. Amen. And then I find the convicting finger of God in the book of Daniel when Belshazzar, the son of Nebuchadnezzar, an ungodly sinner, had committed a gross sin against the Lord God of heaven. He and his wives and his lords and his concubines, and they'd come together and they'd taken the vessels of God that were precious to the children of Israel and they had used them in having a big party. They were having themselves a time thinking that they'd got the better of the God of Israel, that they had done themselves wonderfully well, that they had done something that God had forbidden. It's amazing how many people today have come to the place that they think they're really doing something because they're not following the will of God. I've talked to folks lately who absolutely did not want anything to do with God or anything with His Word or anything to do with the church. They said, I'm better than that. Amen. We were shouting a while ago. Now it's kind of got down. But if we get back to the place that we wanted to respect God and live the way the Lord would have us to and go by the Word of God, keep His commandments, and by the way, His commandments are not grievous. They help us, they don't hurt us. All of us who've sinned and come short of the glory of God, the Bible says there's none of us righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth, there's none that seeketh after God. They've all gone out of the way, they're all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. But the Bible also says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, if we confess our sins, He is faithful to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah goes right in there. You can shout on credit on that verse. Just because God said, if you'll pay attention to what I've already said, if you'll let the convicting finger of God get a hold of your heart and take the Word of God and show you how short you've come and how far you are from being what He wants you to be and confess that you're wrong. Repenting of your sin, the promise of God will come through. And he will forgive. Glory to God. He will forgive, and he will cleanse, and he will restore, and he will put joy, and he will put peace, and he will put the commandments of God down in your heart that you can live and go by. Our sin is pointed out to us with a convicting finger of God when he points to our faults and to our failures, to our transgressions and our shortcomings. By his convicting finger, using the word of God to point them out to us. Amen. Yes, sir. I don't know about you, but I'm really glad the Holy Ghost of God many times along the way has pointed at me and said, That's not for you. You stay away from that. The Bible says abstain from the very appearance of evil. If it looks bad, get away from it. There have been times along the journey of life, more than 5 million miles now, that I've been in places where the Holy Ghost said, you get away from here. Amen. If you never have that happen to you, maybe you ought to check up. You might not be saved. Amen. Because he will whip his youngins. He will straighten us out. Now, he don't whip the devil's youngins. Amen. He don't beat on somebody else's sheep. But he will get a hold of his. Amen. And then number four, and I'd be done. There is the compassionate finger of God. In John chapter 8, when Jesus was on the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning, all the people came to him, and he set them down, and he began to teach them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman that was taken in adultery. And when they had thrown her into the midst, they had said unto Jesus, "This woman is taken in adultery in the very act. Moses commanded us, stone her." What do you say? What do you say? The Bible says here that Jesus bent down and the finger of God began to write on the ground. He didn't say anything to them. He just wrote on the ground. And nobody really knows what he wrote on the ground. It might have been G-R-A-C-E. Might have been grace. Might have been mercy. Might have been compassion. It might have been forgiveness. We don't know what God. It might have been, where's the man? Because she didn't commit adultery by herself. This stinking rascal might have been standing there with a rock in his hand. We don't know what he wrote on the ground. But he didn't answer them. He stood back to his feet, and they got a little antsy. They got a little anxious. They were really wanting him to say anything that they might have reason to blaspheme him, that they might talk bad about him, that they might give people reason not to believe in him, not that they might not trust his word or take him to heart. Amen. The Bible said, they said, Moses said, stone her. Yeah. The commandments of God say, stone her. She's guilty. Yeah. Condemnation was already upon her. She was guilty. May I remind you that there's not one of us that's not guilty. We are all guilty. If I'd have got what I deserve, I'd be in hell if my back broke today. But he wrote on the ground. He wrote on the ground. And he looked at them and he said, "He that is among you without sin, go ahead and cast the first stone." So before you begin to run your mouth about somebody else, you remember he wrote on the ground for you. Amen. He's already promised that the compassionate finger of God will look past all your faults, that he might X out all your sin, that he might blot out all your transgressions, that he might wash you thoroughly from all of your sin and make you whole. One by one, they dropped their rocks and they turned and they walked away, realizing that all of them were as guilty as she was. Amen. She was laying there on the ground. I'm sure she was weeping and wondering at what moment a rock's going to start falling on her. Knowing and realizing she's guilty and she deserves it. And yet, they never start falling. Because the rock of ages has already wrote on the ground. Jesus said, "Woman, where art thine accusers?" I believe it took her a minute to look around, clean her eyes out, realize I have none, Lord. He said, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." The compassionate finger of God had already written out her forgiveness. Her pardon was signed in the sand of the Mount of Olives. Thank God my sin has been cast as far as the east is from the west, never to be brought up against me anymore. The blood of Jesus has washed me from all my sin. The compassionate finger of God, even realizing how I was and what I was and what I would ever be, has touched my life. And today, if you're saved by the grace of God, He's touched yours. But if you don't know that the compassionate finger of God has done away with all your sin, today would be a real good time. Right now would be a real good moment for you to come to God and confess and let Him forgive and cleanse. If you're here today out of the will of God and you don't know that you're doing what God would have you to do, it'd be a real good time to let the commanding finger of God take His word and put you in to His will for your life today. God bless you.